from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
Excuse myself. Grab my phone. I go into the bathroom stall, kind of hiding, texting, emailing, thinking, what have I become?
That was a cut from a new film by Bay Area filmmaker Tiffany Schlein, who will join us in studio for the Forum Hour ahead. Founder of the Webby Award, she's also director and co-writer of the recently released feature film all about connectivity, her father's death, and giving birth. It's called Connected. She'll join us for the hour. Join us also here after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Founder of the Webby Awards, Bay Area native and filmmaker Tiffany Schlein was named by Newsweek a number of years ago as one of the women shaping the 21st century. Co-founder of the International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences and a Henry Crown Fellow of the Aspen Institute, she made short documentary films on reproductive rights, cultural identity, and the Barbie doll, and internet addiction. And her first feature film is called Connected, an autobiography of love, death, and technology. She joins us for this Forum Hour, and pleased to have you here. Welcome.
Very happy to be here.
I guess this John Muir quote kind of got you started in some ways, didn't it?
Yeah. That you tug at a single thing in the universe, you find it's attached to everything else. And actually, I had this artist in residency at the Headland Center for the Arts. And I remember going into this huge space, this beautiful space they provided for me, and I just like tacked that quote up to the wall. And I sat in one corner, kind of far away from it, with a box of books. And I swear I just stared at that quote and read and thought about that quote for many days.
Well, if there's a thesis in this film, it is that everything is connected. Like the title suggests, a sort of chaos theory, you know, and a butterfly and all those kinds of things. Everything seems dependent upon even some of the most minuscule sort of thing, events within the universe. And you've kind of done your own tree of life here, I mean, a whole history of the universe. But also, you're very optimistic about humankind, about the future of humankind because of technology.
Well, I think that obviously, with my background with technology, I think I've thought a lot about it, and I really feel like technology is just an extension of humans and our desire, our curiosity, and our desire to connect. So I think we are evolving. I mean, just have to look at the women's rights movement, civil rights, gay rights. You know, we are moving the needle forward. So suddenly we have all these new tools that help us connect more, find more information, connect to more people. So ultimately, that gets me very optimistic. But of course, any technology we could talk about, I just came from New York for the anniversary of 9/11. Any technology, I could tell you three amazing things about it and three really bad things about it. So the goal with this film is really to open up a conversation. Like, what's the hope for all this technology and connectivity in the 21st century? And what should we be talking about? What should we be worried about? And personally, I wrestle with technology a lot on a personal level, just how much it's invaded every moment of my life.
Well, in fact, we've got a clip here that we'd like our listeners to hear, because there's an elemental question that seemed to me to be girding the film with, and it's also a personal film. I want to talk about that with you as well. But a question for listeners might be, do you feel overconnected? Do you try to limit your connectedness? And does the virtual world that we live in with technology now make you more connected to people, or make things more virtual so that you're not connected in the kind of way that says, let's sit down and talk, as opposed to let's text or let's email or something? I just read a piece by Neil Ferguson where he said, this is ruining our lives, all this texting. It's making people not read books. In fact, from his perspective, that's making for a less literate society and everything. But let's hear this cut from the film.
So I'm finally at lunch with this really good friend of mine, and we are having a fantastic time. I haven't seen her in years. We're laughing, drinking, talking. But I'm still getting this urge to check my email. And I was like, Tiffany, stay focused. You traveled all the way across the United States to see her. Stay focused. But eventually it was like it overtook me. And then I fake needing to go to the bathroom. So I excuse myself, grab my phone, I go into the bathroom stall, kind of hiding, texting, emailing, thinking, what have I become?
And what was your answer to that question?
I'm concerned about my behavior. I mean, I remember You know, I thought, oh, I used to think like 3 years back, that is so rude when somebody pulls out their cell phone when you're having a meal with them. And then suddenly I became that person. And that really made me concerned. I mean, but one thing I should point out is I think we are going through a transition period. I mean, when writing was first invented, the concern of that day was we're going to lose our memory. And when books came out, the first books came out in cafe culture, people used to say, oh, in cafes, everyone was talking. And then suddenly they're quietly looking at this thing called a book. And when I was growing up, everyone said, television is going to turn your brain to mush. And I watched hours upon hours of really bad TV and my brain didn't turn to mush. So I know people are really concerned and I equally think we need to talk about it and set some boundaries. But ultimately, I think we're evolving to a new way of existing in the world.
Well, your dad, who features very prominently in this film and who is a friend of mine, believed in this kind of connectedness, believed that the two brain sides would come together and mm-hmm. that there would be – in fact, we did a whole program with him a while back on convergence between science and the humanities. A lot of what he was all about was connectedness and convergence. Mm-hmm. But there's also this alternate theory, especially neurological theory, that we're creating different neural pathways mm-hmm. that we're –
Absolutely.
You know, Google's making us stupid because we don't have to use our memory the way we used to use our memory, all these kinds of things. It's, the verdict isn't quite in yet, is it?
You know, it isn't. And I want there to be more discussion about it. But, you know, again, I think that there's positive and I think there's things we need to talk about. And I know personally in my own family, since making the movie – since that clip you played, we do a technology Shabbats very seriously in our house. So Friday night, we light the candles and all screens go off for 24 hours. And it's been pretty life-changing. So just having one day every week that I'm completely disconnected and ultimately very connected to the people I love in the room with me has been really profound. And then Saturday night, we can't wait to go back on. And you kind of appreciate the fact that you get to act on every thought again. So I think it's really about... I think we're just getting to the point where we're not talking about it. And everyone is, their whole behaviors are changing so much. And like, let's take this moment. Let's have a conversation of the potential of this technology globally, because that's what gets me really excited. And then personally, let's also talk about when it's inappropriate and not great to be always connected.
You talk about internet addiction, though. In fact, you did a whole film on it. And it is, in fact, in your film, the new one, there's all this stuff about oxytocin.
And yeah, and they have done studies. I mean, you get a hit. So oxytocin is, they call it the love drug or the bonding hormone that happens usually when mothers breastfeed. And it gives you a rush of bonding and empathy and love. So they've done studies where people are getting hits of oxytocin when they get a tweet or an email or a text. And I know I feel it. And I get a rush of feeling connected, although a lot of times there's going to be 10 emails or texts that make you really happy and one that's going to piss you off. So I like one day of the week where there's no one interfering with my mood flow. So,
did you also start the National Day of Unplugging?
Well, I was involved with it and we made a film. We rewrote Allen Ginsberg's Howl and called it Yelp. And it's just a two-minute film.
Great advertising for...
Well, I have a love-hate relationship with technology. Again, globally, I'm really excited about the idea that we are going to be alive when all of the minds on the planet will be connected. Not that they'll all be thinking one thought, but it's been proven throughout history that innovation occurs usually in cities. Matt Ridley wrote a book called The Rational Optimist about this, where innovation happens in cities throughout history because all these different perspectives are focusing around, are bumping up against each other close together in cities. So suddenly we have the internet where people all over the world can come together from different perspectives around ideas. And that's where I think innovation is going to happen on a new level. So there's all these new visualization tools. My husband Ken's working on these new visualization tools with the web. So that's what I get really excited about, is collaborative tools to bring together all these different perspectives globally to tackle the world's problems.
We're talking with Tiffany Schlain. And by the way, Connected opens tomorrow at San Francisco's Landmark Embarcadero Theater and the Sequoia Theater in Mill Valley and the Shattuck 10 Theater in Berkeley. For more information, to find out about Tiffany's appearances at upcoming showings, visit connectedthefilm.com, and you can join us. In fact, I'd like you to do that. I'd like to get our listeners involved in this and ask the question for you. Do you feel overconnected, and do you try to limit your connectedness? And just what do you feel about connectedness in terms of enhancing humanity and making us better human beings, as Tiffany has just sort of alluded to, or is it maybe taking away from human contact in ways that we really need to be aware of and creating monsters as well? Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, and we would like to hear from you, so please feel free to call us and join this conversation, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, 866-733-6786. 6786. You can also email us, and our email address is forum@kqed.org. You can also post a question or comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this particular segment. This was also a personal film, as I alluded to before, and it not only concerned your dad and your dad's death, but also, well, birth of a daughter, 5 miscarriages, fertility treatments, a lot of really personal stuff.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I never have made a personal film. This is like my 9th film, and I've never been in one, never done it. And the film took about 4 years to make. And I remember at year 2, I looked at a rough cut, and it was that sinking feeling that I'm sure other filmmakers can, when you're watching a rough cut, and it was all left brain. It was all ideas, and it had nothing personal or emotional in it. And I thought, I'm not connecting to this material. And here I'm making a film about connectedness, and I wasn't exploring emotional connection. You have to understand, my mother, who's alive, I'm very close with, she's a psychologist. So I also grew up with her talking about psychology. And so it was at that moment I realized I needed to bring myself into the story, which was the hardest and scariest thing I've ever done. I'm very honest in it.
It's also very moving, I must say. I mean, I say this, Chris, as someone who was friends with your father, but also very moving in terms of your opening yourself up, which is what you did.
Yeah, I guess I feel like as I get older, everyone's going to lose their parents. Everyone goes through profound loss. And as I get older, when I connect with people, it's when we share those moments. So I guess as scary as it was to go there, it's been amazing going to these screenings. I mean, I just had a preview screening last night with 150 people, and we all feel so connected at the end. And I'm having one tonight that could be, 1,000. And at the end, everyone just feels like they want to share and they're connected, which, I heard Sherry Turkle said this great line recently, the writer, "I share, therefore I am." And sharing is
interesting take on Descartes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that as I get older, I guess I just understand that sharing is where you connect. So if in this film it required – and that's not to say I'll ever do a personal film again because it was so hard. But ultimately, it really helps people feel the bigger ideas of connectedness and relate it to their own lives, which is – we all start with our families and move outwards. So I had to start with my family and my story in order to make sense of how I was connected to the world.
It also brings more people into your world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's was that a surprise to you?
What aspect?
I mean, just that people would come to you more in terms of your film and understand it and want to know more about it because of you.
Oh, it's been beautiful. It's just been, it's almost like I moved from the third person to the first person. And, with the Webby Awards and all my other films, I'm using these voices and other people. And then suddenly you're just right there speaking directly. And, the film is half the fabulous Peter Coyote, who's so talented, and I've worked on so many films with him. He's doing all the kind of left brain idea narration, and I come in with the emotional right brain. And then by the third act, we're kind of mixing it up and interweave the both. But, it's interesting. There aren't very many memoir films. I was just listening to your guests before, and there's so many memoir books, but I can count on one hand memoir films. And that was also hard because I didn't have many guideposts.
Well, but you also had home videos and you had archival material that you went to.
The film is – most of all of my films are mostly archival and animation. And then this film added this new component of home movies.
And the fast pace and also the humor were the two things that really struck me. I know Albert Brooks is a brother-in-law of yours. I don't know if that rubs off in any way. But the film does have some real humor to it.
Yeah, I always feel like you got to laugh before you can, when you laugh, your whole body opens up and then you can feel and think in this very deep way. So all of my films have a lot. And actually the tagline, my brother made up the word for me. It's an autoblogography about love, death, and technology. And we did that because my films all have a lot of humor. And, Ken is a co-writer, my husband and collaborator, and Carlton and Sawyer, we all have a very similar sense of humor. And the animator, who's amazing, I've worked with for almost a decade on my film. So making people laugh before they feel and think is always important.
We get to a serious. We'll get to our callers in just a minute here. We get to another, like you say, you can talk about the new technology as a tool and you can give three good things, three bad things, and so forth. I was always struck. I remember having a conversation about this with Stuart Brand, the founder of the Whole Earth Catalog, about how people who would normally not necessarily say something in a vicious way will flame.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a phenomenon that I, frankly, both Stuart and I were kind of stymied by and perplexed by and couldn't understand. But it's especially with all the kids bullying now with the internet. I mean, it seems to be something about connectedness that allows for that darker side.
I completely agree. But I actually am, I think we are moving towards less anonymity with Facebook and all of these Google Plus and all of these ways to really say who you are. I actually am hopeful that things have value much more when they're attached to a person and people can be less vicious. I mean, you could say people can be more honest when they don't have their name, but I actually feel like the value of what I know when I see people flaming and they're not putting their pictures to it or we don't know who they are, I don't give it as much respect. So, but yeah, I think that that's another conversation we should have. I mean, like all of these, my goal is really to trigger a global conversation about connectedness in the 21st century, all the good, all the potential, and all the bad, and the things that we need to be concerned about.
I wonder if a conversation can do much to ameliorate, though, the fact that now porn has become so pervasive because of the internet that you could argue to a great extent it's changed the whole nature of sexuality for the worse.
Well, porn has driven every technology. I mean, the reason why videos came out was porn. You know, peep shows were the common first films. So that always has driven a lot of technology.
The new technologies,
it really has. So if
but
that
not so ubiquitous and not so easily accessible as it is now. I mean, even to young people and unfortunately to children probably.
Yeah. No, again, and I think I heard that you know, there's new boundaries that are being instated. And the more that you talk about it with your kids and understand, you know, have these kind of conversations is what I hope the film will start.
I do appreciate your optimism. Let me go to our callers. We go to Santa Rosa first and we welcome Sky. Good morning. You're on the air.
Morning. I really want to support the ambiguity that your guest is talking about around especially the internet. And I love the idea of a technology Shabbat. We've thought about implementing that ourselves. Maybe like a start with a 12-hour period of no using technology, no internet technology. And so on the restrictive side, and then as a positive example, I'm wondering if you are aware of right now there's a 24-hour broadcast on climate change that's happening from every time zone in the world called the climaterealityproject.org. Hmm. And it's happening right now. And incredible. It's just making me weep in terms of how amazing it is and innovative for people to connect.
Yeah, I mean,
it reminds me of the harmonic convergence. Do you remember that?
I remember hearing about that. Well, I think you should absolutely try a technology Shabbat. It's been very profound for my family, and I recommend everybody try it. It'll make your mind feel much happier.
My senior editor reminds me that maybe we should say what Shabbat is.
Shabbat is a very old idea of one day a week not working, and the Sabbath, you know, in Europe, the stores aren't even open one day a week. So it's one day a week of not working. So for the modern age, some Jews and other people have interpreted it as no technology for one day. But going back to what you were saying about this climate collaboration, we just did this film where I posted for Interdependence Day in New York, which is one day after September 11th, where we posted on the internet for people to collaborate and participate in this short film. And we got entries from all over the world, and we just premiered it near Ground Zero. And that was so exciting to make a four-minute film with people sending videos and artwork from all over the world. People, your listeners can watch it on Connected, the film, if you just clear on Declaration of Interdependence. But it was just like what you're talking about. It's so exciting what we can now do with these new technologies. We're just at the beginning of all this. And the collaborative tools are what gets me most excited.
And let me thank the caller, and we'll go to more of your calls. We'll go to Casey. Good morning.
Hi, this is Stacy in Arundel, and I was just going to ask you about personality types that thrive on the interconnectedness that all of these devices provide us now versus people that really may feel overwhelmed. I'm thinking about Malcolm, the connector type, the person who really thrives on that oxytocin that you were mentioning. I personally think that that's a huge part of my happiness, being able to connect with people that are really far away from me. Mm-hmm. And I I never feel overwhelmed by technology. I do put it away sometimes, but I love this much more connected feeling that the always on gives me.
Yeah, she mentioned Malcolm Gladwell. We got blocked out by call waiting.
I kind of figured that's what she was. The Malka. I can figure that one. Yeah, I agree. I mean, as a filmmaker who's making these films and trying to engage lots of people, it is so exciting to get tweets and Facebook and emails from all over the world. And that's so exciting. But I guess I also know, as intoxicating and addictive and wonderful and as it is, I also personally, and I am one of those people that loves it, I also love disconnecting. And I didn't know I would, but I do also.
Let me thank the caller. Honeybees figure in your film, The Honeybee Decline. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I just, you know, when we first started the movie about 4 or 5 years ago, the honeybees were starting to disappear. And, you know, the more that I was reading about it, it was such a kind of, you know, metaphor of this, you know, honeybees pollinate a third of our food supply and how interconnected that was to everything. So it really is used as a metaphor in the film. We go throughout history and show both good and bad examples of what connectedness has brought. So we really do from the beginning of time. And the honeybees are certainly a very important example to be concerned with little changes that can have far-reaching impact.
So I meant by alluding to chaos theory. I mean, that's what that's really all about.
Yeah.
We'll bring in more callers here, and we go to Ann next, who's joining us from Novato. Hi, Ann.
Yes, hi. I just want to say the SAT scores, there was an article today how they've dropped the 2011 scores in reading, writing, and math, with reading being the lowest ever on record. And I think here's these tech-savvy high school kids who I think are way ahead of anybody, and yet look how their scores come out, even though there might be other reasons. But I think that has to be a reflection of the technology today, too. Well,
that was the Neil Ferguson idea. I mean, for the number of texts that kids put out, just a number.
Well, but
staggering.
So I guess, you know, I was at this conference, this Marshall McLuhan conference recently, and somebody was saying people don't know how to write anymore. They don't know how to spell. They're shortening everything. And then somebody brilliant, Paul Levinson, who was one of the speakers, said, any important idea from Marshall McLuhan is under 140 characters. And then the more I thought about it, the Ten Commandments are all under 140 characters. So I also would probably, although I'm not disputing that we should be talking in concern, but are the SATs evolving with the way we are evolving in asking what kind of questions? So I just think that's also something that we should think about too.
Lots of things to think about here. And in fact, we're coming up shortly on a break, and just remind you, we're talking with Tiffany Schlein, whose film Connected opens tomorrow at San Francisco's landmark Embarcadero Theater and the Sequoia Theater in Mill Valley and the Shattuck 10 Theater in Berkeley. And if you'd like to join this conversation about being connected and what it does or doesn't do, and lots of controversy obviously attached to the whole idea of this new technology as it moves forward. In fact, I was thinking, I mentioned Ted Rozek. I didn't know I mentioned him in this hour as well. He was a friend of mine who died recently, author of Making of a Counterculture. And he also wrote a novel called Bugs. And the idea was somehow that computers were leading us into all kinds of...
kind of hive.
Well, yeah, and a wasp nest and that sort of thing. I mean, bugs that were toxic and infectious and so forth. But there has been some data, just to go back to the SAT thing, that shows that young people using computers and relying on computers become less creative. We can maybe talk about that when we return. We're coming up on a break. Again, if you'd like to join us, it's toll-free, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on the website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment. I'm Michael Krasny.
Humans invented technology to survive amid scarcity. Technology transforms nature into resources that appear to be always available. But humans are starting to view themselves as resources that are always available. What began as a way to improve life is now threatening to consume it.
There is a cut from the movie Connected, a film by Tiffany Schlain. She's here with us in studio talking about her film. And that, of course, was the ubiquitous voice of our friend Peter Coyote.
Who we love.
That overview, that's like more the third person, the other part of the brain.
Yeah,
I
want
to give an
example
of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to make sure your listeners, you know, it really straddles both optimism and wrestling with negative outcomes and consequences. So it really explores both, because I wrestle with both of those things in the movie. And one thing I'd like to say is, if people want to come, that opening weekend for independent documentaries are just critical, because it determines how it expands out throughout the rest of the country. So we're going to be doing Q&As, and we've got a lot of people coming, but we'd love to have all of your listeners come to really have this conversation in person. Because the discussions that have been happening in the theater have been really exciting. Because people are ready to talk about all this stuff.
Do you have a range of millinery accoutrements to your appearances? You always have different hats, I've noticed.
I'm kind of a hat.
You're kind of a head of hopper figure now.
I used to do really funky hairstyles, but now that, you know, I'm a mom who has time for that, so just a hat. Yeah, I always wear a hat. I do.
Let's look at some of the emails we're getting. I saw Connected and found it to be somewhat utopian as far as the effects of technology. This is by a listener by the name of Wendy. The filmmaker posits that people are more empathetic because they are so connected by technology. Research has found that young people who use technology actually have less empathy. I also fear the use of social media, internet, and cell phone connectivity can sometimes hinder collective action and can serve as a distraction, as a recent New York Times article found. I wish I could be so sanguine, but my own experience tells me this utopian vision has a real dark side. But we've been saying that, haven't we?
You know, everything. I mean, again, anything. It is what we make it. Technology is not this separate thing that's evil. It is us. It is, you know, a telescope is so you can see more. And technology that we've created is so we can connect more and get more information. So that's why I feel like a conversation could be so valuable right now, because we can direct this any way we want to.
Another listener, let's look at some of the web comments here. Gibbs writes, a pet peeve about connectedness, people that walk down the street staring down at their tiny screens, not watching what they're where they're going, but mm-hmm. also seemingly failing to take in the physical world, make eye contact, or simply look up in the sky. Mm-hmm. Another listener, Angelo, writes, I was one of the lucky ones who met Ms. Schlain at the Sundance Film Festival. I'm a geography professor at a Bay Area community college who teaches students about the interconnectedness between everything, people and places, events and physical phenomena, and can't wait to integrate Connected into my curriculum. Can Ms. Schlain please share with the audience her recommendations for doing so in the most engaging way?
Oh, that's great. Well, actually, we do have a whole we developed a curriculum with the Center for Ecoliteracy, which is a great organization in the East Bay. We have a whole discussion kit that actually educators all over the world are currently using. So if you go to Connected the Film and you write to Sawyer at Connected the Film, you can find out about how to get the educator kit, because we're really – all of my films are used in a lot of universities and high schools, and we're that's a big reason why we make these films. So in addition to the public, we want educators to have these tools.
Comment from Facebook from one of our listeners named Kimberly, who writes, connectedness is like a new romantic relationship. You're hopeful but suspicious.
Okay, I love that. Wherever you are, that's brilliant. Yes, that's true. That's a good metaphor.
Good line. another listener writes, I went without a cell phone for over a year, and ultimately within that year, I started to feel that I wasn't the one disconnected. Marcia from Belmont, it's a great question how technology affects humanity. There are a few oral epic storytellers in the world today. When Milman Perry studied oral storytellers in Yugoslavia in the 1930s, all the storytellers were illiterate. When one was taught to learn and write in the hopes that the stories would be written down, he started forgetting the epic he knew. Thoughts?
I think all of these technologies are changing us and shaping us, but you can't say that the book has made us worse, although that was a concern back then. And you know,
what about TV, though? You mentioned it earlier.
Oh, well, I mentioned it because, you know, everyone was wringing their hands when I was growing up about television.
Still wringing their hands. Jersey Shores.
That television was going to turn my mind into mushky. And, you know, I did watch a lot of TV. My parents were divorced, so I'd come home and I watched a lot of bad TV, and I'm okay. So I think people are worried about teenagers always. And one thing I can just say is,
come on, you were watching mostly public television, weren't you?
I wish I want to tell you that that's true, but it's just not true. Love Boat, Fantasy Island, horrible. Brady Bunch, I'm not proud of it, but I'm just saying that I did watch vast volumes of TV, and I'm okay. So I guess I think people always worry about teenagers, but let me just say my thoughts are that teenagers are, it's just an awkward period in general. If I had some technology that would allow me to walk down campus and not feel so awkward and insecure, I would have used it. And the great thing is that you evolve, you get married, you fall in love, you know, all these things, and then you reconnect in different ways.
Is that the order? You get married and
I know, I said that backwards. I realized as I said it, no. This is the Bay Area. You never know how it happens. But I guess I just feel like if we have these conversations, if we are more mindful and conscious, maybe unplug one day a week, you know, have the dialogue with the people you love, with people around you, people at your office and company, I think that good things will ripple out from those from that dialogue. I really do. I think.
Well, let's bring more people into this dialogue and ripple one way or the other.
Let's ripple.
This is Sadi. Good morning, Sadi.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show. So I just wanted to share my own personal experience with I used to be really into being connected, and I was always on a computer, on a phone, or texting. And just as an experiment, you know, I decided to sort of, you know, shut it down maybe for a day or two, and then it went to a week, and then eventually I ended up giving away my computer to a friend, and you know, getting a cheaper cell phone that wouldn't allow me to be so connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been now without a computer for 2 years. And the effect has been really surprising, where I find myself reading a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And being much more social, and being less afraid to approach people and less afraid to sort of hide in a so-called technological bubble. I find myself much more interested in learning foreign languages and traveling and discovering mm-hmm. people. I think that though, you know, technology is great and has and allows us to do a lot of things, I think the culture of today, you know, with the accessibility to a lot of things like porn or just pure entertainment, has made a lot of people, a lot of my friends, unfortunately, very, very shallow and very stupid, and unable to relate to serious problems that we're facing, whether it's the economy or third world nations or anything like that. So while I do think that technology is very useful, I think that the culture of today, people are definitely not using it in the right way. And it has made a lot of people very stupid. I mean,
right, Sadi, I think we get your perspective.
Well, you know, I mean, one thing I want to say just as a woman is when I watched my mother and her friends, who mostly had children right after school, and then my mother went back to get her PhD when I was around 8, you know, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have the option of being a mother at home and participating in the world. And I think as a woman, I'm so grateful that I get to be, you know, be a present mother and work a lot from home and have an office in the city. But I think the internet was the tool the feminist movement needed to realize a lot of our dreams of being mothers and participating in the world. So there's a lot of good with technology. And it's interesting because I think people are really concerned about the consequences of all this connectedness, which I think is good. Concerned is good because we talk about it. But I don't want to forget the power. And, you know, a lot of the biggest problems of our day, I believe, are going to be solved through different perspectives from all over the world having these collaborative tools online to tackle our problems. And my husband's a professor at Berkeley, and him and his students are working on something called hybrid wisdom, where they're creating visualization tools to tackle some of these problems. So I think we could all – there's a lot of concerns. But there are equally a lot of potential, and it is what we have agency in this. I think a lot of people talk about technology as if they're just in the sea and it's taking over their lives and they have no control over it. But A, just like your listener just said, you can set boundaries, whether that's a technology Shabbat or setting some kind of boundaries when you're with people you love. And you can say, I want to use this, the internet, to help solve problems. How can we get there? How can my company or organization do that more? Because there's so many exciting new developments happening every day. So I think it's a balanced conversation that we need to have of the good and the bad.
You've always been a cheerleader, though, pretty much for technology, going back to the Webbies.
I've always been excited by it, yeah.
Do you pretty much dismiss the concern from another sort of dimension, which says it's impinging on our privacy, people are getting too much information, that advertisers and those who are eager to sell to us or able to
I think those concerns are really real. Again, I think it's a love-hate relationship. It's a wrestling with this new way of existing. I, again, believe that as the three good things I could tell you, there's three things we should be really concerned about. So what I'm really hoping to do, and I hope when people come to theaters this weekend, that we get a dialogue started because, you know, people click all the time on the I accept these terms. No one ever reads it. What are they accepting to? You know, we're just changing the way we view so many things and we're not talking about it. And so I as much as I am a proponent of the internet, I'm also a proponent of talking about taking a moment and taking stock of where we want it to go.
You read Gary Steingart's novel by any chance?
Oh, the sad super love.
Super sad true
sad,
love
true
story.
Love
yeah.
story.
That's a kind of dystopian vision.
Yeah,
again.
There's a lot of I mean, it's interesting because I think I'm being pegged. You know, there's a lot of dystopian about technology. And I think that's good. You know, I think that's important to bring up points. But I guess I also believe it needs to be a little bit more measured because technology has done a lot of wonderful things for this world, too.
Are we too overflooded with information, though?
I think what we're going to see is a lot more tools to help that flow better. But, you know, I find that on Twitter, I'm on Twitter all the time, and I love it. I love having hashtags, and I get all my news that way. And people say, oh, it makes people siloed. They're only listening to people with their similar perspectives. I totally disagree. I think that when I'm on Twitter, I follow all these people I find very interesting. And I follow what they're looking at. And I am exposed to more ideas and information that I never would be exposed to. I feel more open to new ideas than I ever have been in my life.
It's always expanding your consciousness.
That's right.
And adding to your knowledge base.
And I never would have seen them before if I was just reading the newspaper.
Let me read a few more emails here. We are getting some naysayers. Here's a woman.
I can take it.
named Marcia, who says, I began my community college teaching career about 10 or so years ago. In those days, most students respected that we had classroom cell phone guidelines, and students who had cell phones would graciously step out of class to take calls. I've seen the erosion of the classroom climate over the years is directly correlated to the number of younger students present. Particularly, I've seen a marked increase in the level of resentment directed at faculty who have strict rules and attempt to enforce them. Mm-hmm. I don't see this as a positive trend for fostering community and human connection.
I completely agree with that. I mean, you know, I used to be a smoker. Again, nothing I'm proud of. But I remember, I think back now and I think, gosh, I can't believe I used to smoke in the morning on a plane, on a this. That's so horrible. But, you know, whatever, 15 years later, of course, I haven't smoked in 15 years, and I can't imagine that I did that. So I'm kind of hoping 15 years from now that we're going to look back at how rude everyone's become with
You're
their cell phones.
You're still watching Love Boat? I needed that.
No, I'm not watching any. I don't watch any TV anymore. Like, who watches TV? But
you're too busy tweeting and all
no,
that.
No, yeah.
Well, let's
working
get another
mother. But no, but I guess I feel like I agree. Like, when you go to lunch and you put your cell phone on the table, it's almost like you're saying, I'm going to talk to you and pay attention to you unless something – you're not interesting enough – or something more interesting is on my cell phone. So it's like a ticking bomb on the table, which is
not very civil either. Jason, let's get you on here. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
So I'm a member of the millennial generation, and so as the first generation in humanity, really, that grew up using technology, something that I've noticed, and maybe this is just confined to my own social circles, but I've noticed that many people have started to develop these sort of organically developed ideas of when it is and is not right to use technology. And I think a lot of this develops from the fact that we grew up with these technologies, that from day one we've been using them, and so having used them for 5, 10, 15 years, we've realized, you know, it's not always the best idea to be using all these technologies at the same time, or rather, to not be connected into every single little one. But conversely, I've noticed more and more that with older generations, generations that didn't grow up with these technologies and have seen the rise of these technologies as some sort of metaphor for their own cultural obsolescence and sort of feeling like, you know, oh, if I'm not connected to all of these things, then suddenly I'm not important anymore in modern society, that older generations have latched on to these technologies in a way that younger generations obviously are on the whole, but in a way that's a little bit has more fervor to it. That older generations are, you know, have to get every single iPhone as soon as it comes out, have to have an account on every single social networking site and things like that.
I feel like
there's a sort of, I don't know.
I'm so glad you called. It's really nice to have just that perspective of a different generation. Because one thing I found is we showed this film this year. Connected played at Sundance, but so did that 2-minute film about the addiction of technology. And they said, we want to show this to the middle school and high school students at Sundance in Salt Lake City. And I'm like, they're not even going to know what unplugging means. And they said, no, we want to show it. So we show it. And I said, do you guys ever want to unplug? And with a room full of middle school and high school students, everybody raised their hand. And the interesting thing that they said was, a lot of times I wish my parents, you know, here the parents are complaining about their kids and the parents are always on their cell phones. So it's an interesting discussion about when it's appropriate and when it isn't. And I think to your point that you just made, you don't have to be connected to every social network And I'm hoping that the next generation is going to kind of evolve that.
Jason, thank you for the call. Something that's been really important in your life, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just feel like I've grown up as a filmmaker. I mean, you know, my first film that played there was called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. And it was about the importance of reproductive rights. And that was in 2003. And, you know, I had been doing the Webbies. I actually made films before I started the Webbies. But I would always go broke on my films and basically make money to pay for my films working in technology. And then when I had the opportunity to start the Webby Awards, I kind of got to do both because I would make these short films for the Webbies. And then Bush got into office. The first thing he did was took away funding for women's rights Planned Parenthood all around the country. So I made that film. And, you know, didn't know anyone in the film industry or Sundance. And we just sent the film in and it got in. And I think it really reminded me the power of film, and then combined with my interest with the internet, that was my sweet spot of like film combined with the internet to make social change. And my last four films have premiered at Sundance, and I just feel incredibly lucky and blessed to be, you know, supported for my work by a community I respect so much.
Here's a listener named Aaron who writes, connectedness in its various forms is still almost entirely a personal choice. I'm growing weary of hearing people who I love, like, and respect bellyache about always being plugged in. For anyone who feels overwhelmed by staying connected to their friends or family, look at different ways of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
If your best friend is going to cry if you don't answer their text right away, talk to them about how that makes you feel. If you yearn to turn off at night or on the weekends but somehow feel uneasy about how people will receive that, you're the person responsible for that, and it's on you to change your habits in a suitable fashion.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I mean, actually, these technology Shabbats, you know, you really, it starts to kind of let people know that you're not going to be available on the weekend. Some of my friends go, we haven't made plans yet. You know, what? You know, I know you're going to be unplugged. And they start to panic. I'm like, don't worry, we'll just plan earlier. But I think they respect that you're setting this boundary. And I know some of my friends have even started trying it. And everybody has agency and is empowered to make these decisions. It's not ruling our lives if we don't want it to be.
On we go to more of your calls. Lisa, join us. You're on the air.
Hi, Tiffany. This is an old roommate of yours. I just wanted to congratulate you on all your success.
Hi.
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple of good comments because I really like what you're talking about, so I called in. And so, and I really wanted to just mention about art, because I don't think you guys have sort of talked about, mm-hmm. you know, visual art and hands-on artists and crafters and people who are really working with their hands and how they're connecting online. All of a sudden, it's become like Etsy and,
yep.
you know, all of these visual things are now integrating into online, and I just wanted to know if you had a comment about that.
Yeah, you know, actually, the film goes into kind of the convergence and collaboration between art and science a lot. So I hope you'll come see it, and definitely come say hi to me when you do. It'll be great to see you. But yeah, I think a lot of, you know, networks.
Virtual communities, really.
Yeah,
and Howard Rangel called them.
Yeah, and I love Howard. Yeah, and decentralized communities love the internet because it brings all these disparate groups together to collaborate, get their work shown all over the world, make a living from showing their work. But really, I think it's the decentralized networks coming together are really beautiful. And I see that in so many different areas.
Let me thank your former roommate for the call and go to another caller. That's you, Anne. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question and a comment, or a comment first and then a question. I have a website to help other, like a lot of people, to help other people solve what is supposed to be an unsolvable problem. And
nice.
People write me these thank yous from all over the world that would just make you weep, you know.
Mm.
And I can never do that without the connectedness. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people tell me that they found it in the middle of the night because they were up frustrated. And I had to write the site the way I did so people could get what they need from the site and not from me, because it's so time consuming. I mean, I literally give it to friends that I see every day because I just couldn't do it if I had to help people person to person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear, you know, well, I make it very clear on my website that I am just an ordinary person and that I can't take a lot of back and forth, and people are very respectful of that. And and usually when people have a question, they apologize first when they write me. So you know, I think some of this setting limits is stuff that we're going to learn how to do as time passes. And the question I had actually is about my own setting limits. I find as I'm trying to get things done and get organized and get my, you know, life going, you know, day to day. So much of what I need is on my computer, and it is just so hard to go to it and get off it again because there's all this other stuff that needs to be done that is just
sucks you right in down the rabbit hole. I get it. I feel that way.
Yeah, I read a piece by Dani Shapiro where she said, you know, I'm a very serious writer. I'm trying to do my work and everything, but, you know, there are emails coming in and there's the...
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a constant attraction, you know, to suck
you in.
Well,
you know, sometimes I've gotten to this point where I have all these productivity tools and none of them work, so now I get a Sharpie. It's like I feel like very prehistoric, and I get a big piece of paper in front of my desk, and I write the 5 things I need to get done that day, and I put it right in front of me. And all day long, as I'm getting distracted, I try to look back down at that sheet because it is so distracting. I mean, you know, sometimes I think, you know, some people are very focused with what they do all day long. And certainly my father, who did surgery, would do like 7-hour surgeries and never take, you know, he's myopically focused on what he was doing. And
well, we hope not literally myopically.
Well, but just
monomaniacally, maybe.
Right? And then, and so when I work, it's all these, just you know, emails and a thought, and then I go on the web and I've got all these files open and windows. So I used to get really frustrated, but then I thought maybe we finally created a work environment that mirrors our stream of consciousness, and that part is interesting to me because we don't think in a linear way.
You're listening to Forum. We're talking to Tiffany Schlain. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll go to a couple more emails here. Well, here's a web comment from Derek. Creating technology is the defining characteristic of being human. The technology we create makes us more human, not less. That could sum up a lot of what your film says, I think. And here's another listener who happens to be one of our colleagues who says, help, how do you get a teenager to buy into an unplugged Shabbat?
You know, first I can say I want to make sure all your listeners know we have a really active Facebook group for the film. You know, thousands of people posting articles about this stuff and sharing their ideas. So if you go on Facebook and go to Connected the Film, there's a very healthy conversation every day happening. So if you want to get engaged, we'd love for you to see the film this weekend or go to the Facebook page to find out more. But the technology Shabbat for the teenagers, try it. I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think my husband, who's like professor of robotics, so into technology, would do it. But we did it and we loved it. So have faith that people might be into it in your family once they try it.
From Danville, John, you're on. Hi.
Yeah, what a great program. I didn't know what we were going to do this weekend, but my wife and two tween daughters are going to go to your movie. So
oh, I'm
really
so
looking
glad.
Forward to it.
Come say hi.
Yeah, you definitely. The question I had really, it stems from a trip, a flight from hell that I just took this week from Plano, Texas, back to San Francisco, where we took off and we were about to take off, and the woman in the row next to me with her two young children, probably 5 and 7, were playing a video game. But the minute that they turned them off, I can only describe it that they went crazy. They got out of their seats. They ran around. Yeah. You know, this idea of addiction really hit home, not just to me, but everybody on the plane. They were screaming at the top of their lungs. The stewardesses had to say, unless they sit down, we're going to have to pull the plane back in.
Wow.
So they restrained them, literally, in the seat. But as soon as the light, what was interesting, and they screamed the whole time till we got to whatever, 4,000 feet, or when the little light went off, and you could turn the electronics, and sure enough, they turned them on, and it went instantly silent. Okay. And so much so, people started talking about it on the plane, which was really interesting, a whole discussion around, you know, is this addiction? And, you know, I heard some people talking about, you know, agency, that we have our own agency and ability to turn things on and off. But, you know, I question that with young children. And, you know, I have two tween daughters, and they just got cell phones because they're taking the bus to school and so forth. And so this dialogue is really relevant right now. You know, you only have one shot, basically, growing up. And in each year, first grade, second grade, third grade, and I do worry that kids are addicted, you know, for whatever reason. They just want that stimulation. And, you know, when you read a book, you don't always get stimulation every few seconds.
I think John's got a salient point here.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. I mean, I would love for you to try doing these tech Shabbats. I mean, they'll be really interesting for your family and wonderful.
I was just visualizing a nephew of mine who would sit with his video game and you couldn't pull him away from it. You literally could not pull him away
from it. Well, you know, I'm just thinking now, I was also addicted to Space Invaders. I was addicted to a lot of tech. I mean, I had one of the first Macs. So I am also someone that I probably back then, you know, were they as concerned back then about all the video games and TV? Yeah. I do think today it's much more pervasive. But again, I think if we have these conversations and set some boundaries, I think that'll be a good start. I mean, I think, you know, the story about the plane, as a parent who's gone on cross-country trips with kids for the sake of all the other passengers, sometimes it is very nice to have a DVD player or a cell phone to give your child so everyone else can enjoy their flight. But I do think it was a scary story you told.
Glad you told it. Thank you for the call. And we'll get another caller on here. Connie, good morning.
Hi. This is Connie Champagne calling, and I wanted to compliment. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
It's been a long time, and I just wanted to compliment you on your achievements and, you know, having done the Webbies with you so many years ago. And I just made a film with someone you know, which is Trevor Anderson up in
fantastic.
Alberta. Yeah, it's sort of a docu-musical.
Love it.
But my question for you is, what's up next? Do you have another film in the works, or what's going on?
Well, we just, this film we premiered near Ground Zero for Interdependence Day that was on, it's this new film series we're doing called Let It Ripple. Mobile films for global change. And they're all going to be just 4-minute films that we put out on the web. And the first one was a Declaration of Interdependence with music by Moby that we totally crowdsourced. We're doing one on the brain's development, one on curiosity, one on money, one on death, one on sharing. And we're going to be releasing these every 3 or 4 months. So we're really excited because the whole concept is most organizations try to scrape money together to make a film for their specific cause. So what we're doing is making short films about bigger issues and letting any organization that wants to use them.
Well, you're covering a lot of territory. And your dad's book on Da Vinci will be out this year?
We are working very hard to get the book out. And if you're interested in my dad's last book, Leonardo's Brain, you can definitely stay in touch with me and we'll keep you posted. But we are working hard to get it out.
Tiffany Schlain, her movie opens tomorrow, San Francisco's Landmark Embarcadero Theater, the Sequoia in Mill Valley, and the Shattuck 10 Theater in Berkeley. And for more information about her appearances, visit connectedthefilm.com. Thank you, Tiffany.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you every Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. Hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez, and I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.